It is a real honor to be here today. Just loved getting to know some of the people of Gateway Church. And I want to send a special welcome to the other campuses in South Austin, Buda, Pflugerville, Central, and Branson. Just amazing to be part of this. My name is Clint Phillips, as you saw on the screen. My beautiful family are sitting here. And here's a picture of my family in Japan. This is a very special place to us and a very special trip. My children, some of them like to think of Kevin Hart as their uncle. I haven't told them that's not true. I work in healthcare, and I'm on a track team. And these are my track teams. We are the national 4x400 champions, over 40. I must mention that. The guy on the left is my amazing friend Winston. He's from Jamaica. He runs on our team. And the guy in the middle has broken the world record for the 400 over 40. He's broken the world record for the 400 over 50. He can run in college track meets at 50 years old. And when we finish our races, they often usher him away to do a drug test. And I'm always left there, and they don't come and ever ask me to do a drug test. So I said to him one day, Alan, you know, I notice they keep taking you away and they never take me away. Do you think it's racism? And he smiled and was awkward. He said, I don't think so, bro. And he didn't want to say, Clint, you're just not fast enough for them to worry about you taking drugs. And so anyway, that's a real honor to be on that. I don't speak too often at churches, but my wife has a gambling problem and I need the money. So you can talk to her after that. I'm born in South Africa. If there's anybody born in Africa, just wave your hand to me. Yes, yes, wonderful. And glad to hear that there are some rugby players. My wife used to be on a TV show called Gladiators. She's the Gladiator Thunder, and if you mess with me, she will break you. So, I'm not kidding. Be nice. Okay. God has been really good to me. Very, very good to me. Many years ago, I set out to find out just how good he is. And I studied the Bible on looking for anything that spoke about blessing, that spoke about favor, that spoke about wisdom. And I wanted to see if, like Gideon, God could do something with somebody who was from the least of the least. If you don't know Gideon, he's this guy in the Bible, and the angel comes to him, and God wants him to lead this battle, and he says, I'm from the least of the least. Like, I think you've got the wrong person, and God uses him greatly. So, as we talk about this today, the title of my sermon is Living with Wonder. Living with wonder. I think that we have lost our ability to live in awe of God. There are two ways to live your life. One way is that everything is a miracle. Another way is like nothing is a miracle. And we're going to get some of our inspiration from this guy in the Bible named David. And he was a young guy, and he managed to take knowing God to a whole nother level. David, before he was lived at a time before Jesus, before the formation of the church, before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, David managed to understand God and unlock spiritual insights to the point that God said, he is a man after my own heart. He could sit for hours with God and be totally satisfied. Totally satisfied, just sitting in the presence of God, full of delight and joy, overwhelmed by the greatness of God. He loved the presence of God, and he was in awe of God continually. He said, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He said, oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. He said, when I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him? He said, when I look at creation, when I look at the sky, the heavens, I wonder, like, Lord, why do you even bother with us? You are so amazing. You are so incredible. So David's sitting out here. Imagine this shepherd, and he's got a lot of extra time. And he's taking this time to, like, just ask the big questions, to really be wonder, like, who am I? What am I doing here? He says, God, you hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand on me. He says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I can't contain such knowledge. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. He goes on to say, how precious are your thoughts towards me. How does he know that God's thoughts are so precious towards him? He's sitting, reflecting, talking, listening, getting to know God. He said, how vast is the sum of your thoughts? If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I'm awake and you are still with me. At every point of his day, he is consumed with the awe and the wonder of God. He reminds us what true worship is. I think many of us have lost that awe and that wonder. We're going to get it back today. So look at the person next to you and say, where is the wonder? You think, well, David is probably this artsy, hippie, poet, shepherd. Maybe he's chewing on some herbs and mushrooms or something there as he's tripping, as he's looking at the sky. But David was also an unbelievably fearless warrior. This is the guy who at a young age fought the most aggressive, scary human being in the country. He took on a giant, a Goliath. So don't just put him into this category of he's a shepherd boy. What was amazing as I think about war and as I think about fighting is that while he's spending time with God, God is showing him a way to win an incredible battle. He's got a stone and he's learning how to throw his stone out of a sling. And while everybody thinks the only way to win a fight with somebody is a hand-to-hand combat, David is spending time alone with God while he's getting accurate with his sling and how God would use that moment in an incredible way. So there's two ways to tell my story. I'll get to tell you a little bit of my story today. I'm excited. And there's the story of the awe of God. And then there's the story of our pain. And I'm going to start by telling you my story through pain. When I was small, I had a father who was very abusive and violent with my mother. And he used to hurt her. And for 15 years of my life, all I could imagine was one day being big enough and strong enough to hurt him. It's what I just wanted to do. I wanted to fight and hurt him because of what he would do to my mother. He would throw us out onto the street when he was in a bad mood, and it was terribly embarrassing to go and have to pick up your clothes on the street in front of people and pretend like nothing's really happening, nothing to see here. We would have to find different places to stay. And my father, I remember his words saying, you will be a beggar on the street, was his words to a young boy, to his son. I remember those words came out of my headmaster's mouth as well. He said, I've seen kids like you. You amount to nothing. Great inspirational headmaster. Later, my dad would get into a fight with my uncle, and he would pull out a gun, and he would shoot. He missed my uncle, and he shot the pastor. The pastor lived, but it was very difficult. Imagine being the kid whose father shot the pastor. Imagine like somebody put a cap in Ricky, Pastor Ricky, and you're like, oh yeah, that guy there, his dad did it. Not, you know, not the person you want hanging around your kids or even the person you want at your church. My father had guns and he had money, and my mom and my brother and I, we had to live in hiding. It was like being in the witness protection program, except we had no protection and we had no money or support. So my mom would have to raise two boys by herself. It was difficult. Later, I would marry the girl of my dreams, but it turned into a nightmare. We got to the point where I hoped she would have an affair, so I would have a biblical reason to be out of the marriage, because we just couldn't imagine being married to each other going forward. To make matters worse, we suffered a miscarriage. And then our third child, when she was born, had a stroke and was left paralyzed down the right side of her body. We were told she would never walk, she would never talk. It just seemed really unfair. I've had my nose broken more than once. I've had my teeth knocked out. I've had measles, mumps, chickenpox, hepatitis, you name it. I had athlete's foot for over 12 years, and I wasn't even that good an athlete. It's weird. No matter how hard I would train my calf muscles, they just wouldn't grow. I could never wear skinny pants because you think I'm walking on stilts. It's not really funny. I appreciate it. I was actually opening up my heart there, and this lady's just really jumping in there. I've been sued, I've been lied about. In fact, somebody told such bad lies about me that I was investigated by the IRS, by the INS, Immigration, and by the FBI. I don't know if you know what it's like to be knocked on the door and an FBI agent says, I've come to investigate you. You do know, okay, that's good. I'm not alone. After 10 years of marriage, my wife completely forgot how to cook. I just see her in the kitchen standing with pots, just knocking them together, staring in the distance. I say, sweetie, this just isn't how cooking works. I've been hungry for the last 10 years. She's sitting over there and she's gonna get me afterwards, I can tell. After 10 years, 2 years ago, we were in a hot air balloon crash and many people got badly hurt. My life, like many of yours, is filled with difficulty, but that's just one side of the story, because that is the story without God. Let me tell you my story with the wonder of God. I had an incredible mother who loved God and loved His Word, and she spoke over us from a young age that you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. She told us that we are more than conquerors in Christ. I never went begging on the street. I never had to go begging before my dad. That headmaster who said he knows kids like me who amount to nothing. I remember when I was the captain of the rugby team and I had the power to choose whether his son would be on my team or not. And the joy that God showed and the honor that God gave me. My father came to know Jesus in the last days of his life. It was a beautiful finish. My three beautiful children sitting here today, they love God. Gabby, the little miracle, stand up there, sweet girl. Give us a little wave to us. She walks, she talks a lot. Her brothers and sisters will tell you, she sings, she dances. The first time she surfed, we were standing in the ocean weeping. First time she skied, we were crying, thanking God for the incredible miracle that He has done through her. Not only has God done an incredible job in her and healed her, but because of her injury, we started a company that has helped tens of thousands of people in amazing ways. God really used that as an opportunity to grow, be blessed, and help people. The Lord's blessed me beyond my dreams in health, in business, in sport. He surrounded me with amazing friends and family. The Lord has blessed us to be able to help hundreds and hundreds of children. There'll be a picture that goes up just to show some of our orphans. These are, you can't see the faces, but this sits on my wall, and these are some of our kiddos in Zambia. My wife, who's here today, you can come meet her afterwards, Jade. She is an incredible woman, and our marriage is better than ever. We've just celebrated 21 incredible years of marriage. Thank you. Thank you, God. You are amazing. She can't keep her hands off me. I don't know if you're allowed to say that in church, but she still can't cook. But we eat out 3 times a day, and we're making it work. You're wondering, what about your calves, your calves? Well, I had, you know, this problem with them, and then one day I heard a guy over talk speaking, and he said, "Have you ever seen a racehorse or a cheetah with big calves?" Never. And I was like, wow, God has made me for speed. That's why he gave me these little things. I'm a racehorse. The hot air balloon crash, my wife broke some ribs. People went to hospital, but the Lord gave us the opportunity to be interviewed on CNN, on New York Times, as we tell our story of how he protected us. And when everybody else went to the ambulance, I made our kids walk around the ambulance limping, as they were like wondering why they couldn't get in there. I said, "I know how those ambulances charge. Walk to the car." And as they were crying, getting to the car, the Lord got us through it. The athlete's foot, I've managed to get that under control. I have to lift my toes up when I'm walking in a public pool area, pick those toes up really high, keep them off the floor, and I'm doing okay. I've had some incredible blessings. I want to tell you about some of these blessings that you guys might have as well in your life. I have got this button at home that I can push, and it makes it daytime. Lights go on. It's unbelievable. In the middle of the night, I can make it daytime, nighttime. Daytime, nighttime. Anybody got a button like that at their house? It's incredible. I say, "Lord, like, I don't understand how these electrons flow and all that. This electricity thing, I still really don't understand it, but it's incredible." We go to this place called an airport, and we get on the seat that floats through the sky. Sometimes we float through the sky for 2 hours, and we land in this wonderful country, Mexico. And we eat this wonderful food called chilaquiles. And I don't understand how this, like, oil in the ground can be burnt and can help people float in the sky. Is it not amazing? Outside my house, I have a hard road. There are thousands of cities in the world that don't even have a hard road, and I've got one that goes right in front of my street. It doesn't wash away in the rain. Some days I just feel so incredibly blessed at God's blessings. Recently, I realized that I had a magic table in my house. And you can put dishes on this table, dirty dishes, and the next day, those dishes have been cleaned and they put back in the cabinet. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I am so blessed. And as I look around and say, "God, you are incredible." My wife and I have this device that you can push, and people in Africa can hear our voice. It's unbelievable. When's the last time you said, "Lord, like, my life is incredible. I'm so blessed at the things that you put." You put compounds in the ground like lithium, cobalt, terbium to be able to do these incredible things. And I don't want to brag. My family don't like it when I brag, but I'm going to brag just a little because I'm sort of a big deal. So if you don't mind me saying, my father is, he's pretty famous. You see, my father invented the world. My father. He invented the world. I feel pretty special when I think about God's amazingness, when I think about his wonderfulness. Let's go back to David. In Psalm 68, he says, I bless God every chance I get. My lungs expand with his praise. He says, I live and breathe God. Praising God was David's air. Praising God. When is the last time, every time you breathed in, you said, Lord, thank you. Lord, you're amazing. God, wow. Look at my hands. He says, open your mouth, taste and see. Open your eyes, see how good God is. Are you looking to see how good God is? Blessed are you who run to him. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. David just sees the sky and he's overwhelmed by God. Why is God so wonderful? Why is David so happy? David probably had a great life. Wasn't he like also a king? You go, if I had a good life, if I was a king, you know, David probably didn't have my mother-in-law. He doesn't know my problems that I have. Well, let me tell you a few little facts about David. His brothers thought he was a loser. His father never saw his potential. He never had a perfect wife. She thought that he was an unsophisticated clown. He never had perfect kids. Mucho problema with the kiddos. Really, some tough stuff. The man he loved, the most powerful man in the world, Saul, was consumed with murdering him. You thought you had a bad day when your boss complained about you. Imagine your boss wanting to have you murdered and had the authority and the right and the ability to have you murdered. That's a bad day. Put your perspectives in problem. Imagine your boss hiring an army of assassins to murder you. Kings were constantly attacking him. His life was tough. He had never tasted huevos rancheros. He had never seen Fast and the Furious. How could a guy with so many troubles be so content? How? This guy's got more problems than you can imagine, and he is so content with God. Wow, Lord, the righteous man has many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. If you remember anything from today, I just want you to remember this next phrase. And it's not just because I made it up, but it's also because I think it's quite good. Being in awe with God has nothing to do with the amount of problems that you have. I'll say it again. Being in awe with God has nothing to do with the amount of problems that you have. If you post that on your social media, just tag me. My 12 followers would love to see it. David was a worshiper. He was overwhelmed by God. He saw God in everything. Why is this so important? Well, because we live through the lens of our pain far too often versus the lens of the wonder of God. Our focus is off, and we are running the wrong race. We are focused on the wrong prize. If instead of being delighted in God, we live defeated, we live with envy, we chase the wrong things, we live dissatisfied, we live anxiously. A few years ago, I was running a race in Houston called the Blue Cure Night Run, and I was in the top two. It was a 5K race, and I was feeling good. And I knew it was only about a half a mile to the finish. And as I was running, trying to think, am I going to be able to get this guy in first place? Even second place is going to be an amazing outcome. And we're following the chase car, and the car's driving, and we're so focused on this car. And all I can think about is just trying to get to the car. And as we get to the finish, all you have to do is turn right, and there's a big banner that says finish line. But we're watching the car, and the car turns the other way. And we're following the car, and I'm like, this is more than 5Ks. And now the car's driving through downtown Houston, and we're running after this car. And I'm like, I can't do this anymore. To find out that we had run right past the finish line. Chasing after the wrong things. I don't want to chase after the wrong things. I want to chase after the awe and wonder of God. As you can imagine, I came 33rd that night instead of first or second. True story. Living with wonder means you are focused on the right things. You're focused on God. Start delighting in God. Chase after Him. Psalm 37 verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. What do? We chase after the things we think we want and wonder why it doesn't satisfy. Matthew 6 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What does the Lord want for you? Seek after God, and all those things that you thought you wanted, those things will be added. God knows what we need. What does wonder look like? I've done a little research and I've looked you guys up. Yeah? I've done some research, you guys online and at the other campuses too. Let me tell you your story. Fact. You beat out 100 million other sperm cells to be conceived. You, 1 in 100 million. Somehow you made it to childbirth. An absolute miracle. You then went on to fall hundreds of times, lick every germ, stick your finger in a plug socket, nearly get run over, fell down the stairs a few times, nearly drowned, and yet you are here today. Then you found out that you're on an earth that is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. While you move around the sun at 67,000 miles an hour, just thank the Lord you haven't been sucked off this big rock. If you're tired, at the end of the day, you're like, Lord, I didn't get sucked off today. I made it through another day. You are a miracle. Then you found out that there is a God who put this all in place. He knit you together. He knows the hairs on your head. He put the stars in their place. He created the birds, the fish, the animals, the billions of tiny organisms that give us life on the speeding bullet of a planet. He made plants to feed us. He gave us air to breathe. He makes the mountains, the oceans, yet somehow He still knows about you and cares for you. You found out you have a purpose. But some of us forgot and we started to chase other things. I'm here to remind you, you are a miracle, an absolute miracle. Give the Lord a hand. You're an incredible creation. When is the last time you thanked God for your sight, for your hearing, for your legs? When we sing songs at church, it's not because we like to sing along or dance. It's because we need to remind ourselves who God is. He delights in our worship. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." This is a guy writing who's being chased for his life, who's being threatened continually, and he says, "Lord, you lead me in green pastures beside still waters." Wonder brings healing. Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity," all your sins, God forgives them, "who heals all of your diseases." Wonder brings healing. Wonder brings contentment. Joy comes from knowing our place in life. Joy comes from giving something worth giving. You want to live with wonder. You want to live with joy. Remember why you are here. Remember who your Father is. I know who my Father is. That creator of the world, he's your Father too. Wonder brings joy. In closing, I want to just tell you a story of a man who saved up all his money to go on a cruise. And he was going on this beautiful boat, and he had saved up for so long, and he was so excited, and he went onto this boat, and as he walked onto the boat, he met the captain, and the captain shook his hand and said, "I'm so glad to have you on this boat. You're going to have a wonderful time." And he went on the boat, but he only had enough money to go on the boat. And that means he took some extra food, and he had some cheese and crackers, little salami, and he would make his little sandwiches every day, and that's what he would eat. And he'd walk past the dining hall, and he'd see the people laughing and the music and the food and the buffet, and he'd just go back to his room and he'd make his sandwich. And on the last day, he was leaving the boat, and the captain was there, and the captain said, "My friend, I missed seeing you at the banquets, at the meals, at the celebrations." And he said, "Well, Captain, to be honest, I never had enough money to partake in those." And the captain looked at him and said, "My friend, it was all included." And I wonder how many of us are living our lives on cheese and crackers when there is a buffet available to us. Forget not all his benefits. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I've got godly FOMO. I don't want to miss out on anything that the Lord has for me. Lord, if you've got it, if you've got freedom, I want it. If you've got healing, I want it. You've got joy, I want it. You've got purpose for my life, I want it. When you look for God's goodness, you will see it everywhere. Please bow your heads. Dear Lord, I thank you for the incredible people in this room here today. Incredible people listening online and at our other campuses. I ask you to speak to them, Lord. Lord, I ask you to show them how to live with absolute wonder and awe of the incredible God you are. In Jesus' name, amen.